Hello and welcome to the reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Tuesday, May 30th, 2023. I'm your reader, Bill Petrosky. In area news headlines, one hurt in rollover crash near Galena. Dateline Galena, Illinois. Authorities said one person was injured in a single vehicle rollover crash Monday near Galena. Joshua K. Knowles, 34, of Bettendorf, Iowa, was transported by ambulance to Mercy One Medical Center for treatment of his injuries, according to the Joe Davis County Sheriff's Department. A press release states that Knowles was traveling on Illinois 84 near the West Furlong Road at approximately 7:45 p.m. when his vehicle veered off the roadway to the right, entered the gravel shoulder, re-entered the roadway, and entered the east ditch. The vehicle struck an embankment and rolled over. Authorities are investigating the crash. In a separate matter, authorities say one person was injured in a two-vehicle crash near Galena. Authorities said one person was injured in a two-vehicle rollover crash Friday near Galena. Dale Hammer, Jr., 35, of Hazel Green, Wisconsin, was transported to Mercy One Dubuque Medical Center for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries, according to the Joe Davis County Sheriff's Department. Dubuque Memorial Day Parade ceremony draw hundreds to Schmidt Island. Story by Kaylee Reese at thmedia.com. For many gathered at Chaplain Schmidt Island, Monday morning marked a day of solemn remembrance. Veterans Day is for all those who had the uniform on, said Mark Juice with Dubuque American Legion Post 6. Memorial Day is for those who didn't have the chance to take the uniform off. Juice was among those who participated Monday in Memorial Day events on Schmidt Island that drew a crowd of hundreds to see a ceremony and parade which has not been held in Dubuque for 3 years. This year also marked a change in the parade's location. It had been held in downtown Dubuque in years past. The events, which included a free community cookout, were held by Veterans Freedom Center, Dubuque County Veterans Affairs, and other local veterans groups. The parade started in the parking lot of Q Casino, traveling down Greyhound Park Drive under the highway. Featuring the parade were marching bands, Boy Scout and Girl Scout troop members, and motorcycles with flags flying. The route ended at Veterans Memorial Plaza, where a ceremony honoring fallen veterans took place. For many Americans, the last Monday in May marks the start of summer, said Tom Walsh, a commander for American Legion Post 6 during the ceremony. For those of us in the military, the day has greater significance. Walsh said Memorial Day has been recognized for 155 years. The holiday was first known as Decoration Day, which was a day to beautify the graves of those who lost their lives while serving the country. While a holiday name has changed over the years, the ideals have not, Walsh said. During the ceremony, members of local veterans groups laid a memorial wreath in Veterans Memorial Plaza. A chair cover was also placed on a POW/MIA empty chair in remembrance of those lost in all-American wars who did not return home to their families and are still unaccounted for. Local Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts also held a large American flag and led the crowd in the Pledge of Allegiance. Charlie Brimeyer, the former executive director of the Dubuque County Commission of Veterans Affairs, was the day's featured speaker. Memorial Day has more sales than you can shake a stick at, he told the crowd. Is that what Memorial Day is supposed to be about, sales and bargains? I don't think so. Brimeyer said he remembers that the holiday was called Decoration Day when he was growing up, and he would go with his parents to beautify the graves of his family members, including his brothers. We remember those who lost their lives and gave the ultimate sacrifice for the freedom that we enjoy today, he said. Brimeyer also noted that the Dubuque Memorial honoring those who lost their lives does not tell the full story of what members of the military suffered during their service, including the effects of Agent Orange on Vietnam veterans, effective burn pits on those who were in Desert Storm and post-traumatic stress disorder among many who served. Battle wounds continued for all those who served, Brimeyer said. We all probably have lost a loved one in the service. Every time I hear the Pledge of Allegiance or I hear the National Anthem or I hear taps, I remember the fallen. Marty Huseman of Dubuque was among the crowd that came to Schmidt Island for the events. Huseman served in the U.S. Army during the Vietnam War. This is what it's all about, remembering those who gave the ultimate sacrifice, he said. We love coming out to parades. We always go to the Labor Day one and this one. Doug Page, a Dubuquer who also served in the Vietnam War, said attending Memorial Day events like Monday's parade and ceremony was a, quote, normal thing he does every year to mark the holiday. I can trace my ancestry back through the Revolutionary War, he said, noting that his grandfather, father, and son have served in the military. Page also remarked on the size of the crowd that came out to Veterans Memorial Plaza to take part in the memorial as part of the day. I haven't seen this many people in a long time, he said. Local Girl Scout Council announces $3.8 million donation. Epworth, Iowa. As renovation work continues at a Dubuque County Girl Scout camp, scouting officials announced the receipt of a large contribution being used in part to fund the improvements. Girl Scouts of Eastern Iowa and Western Illinois announced that the late David and Audrey Hammer of Dubuque left $3.8 million to the Girl Scouts. Audrey Hammer died in 2011, and David Hammer died in 2018. This enables us to put money aside and let it grow and be a gift to Girl Scouting for years to come, said Stacy Conforti, Vice President of Property and Outdoor Experience for Girl Scouts of Eastern Illinois, Eastern Iowa, and Western Illinois. Conforti said Audrey Hammer was a longtime volunteer and supporter of Girl Scouts, and her husband continued that support after she died. Some of the Hammer's donation is being used as seed money for ongoing work at Camp Little Cloud near Epworth, although Conforti noted that the council also hopes to raise additional funds from the community. Already completed is a new, more secure gate to the entrance to the camp, as well as a gathering space with a fireplace, complete with a memorial dedicated to the Hammers. Conforti said the council also has been working on renovating cabins on the property and expanding their capacity. The Girl Scouts use the camp year-round, she said. The average troop size is 12 to 14 girls. What we're really trying to do is create cabins that will sleep that many people. Carrie Chesterman, a Dubuque Girl Scout troop leader, said she was excited to see the work being done on the cabins. All of those beautiful renovations are going to be more welcoming for our girls to be out there, she said. And it's open to everybody. Anybody can go rent cabins there. Since it's so much nicer now, it brings up to the standard of other places people might stay. Conforti said the council also hopes to break ground this fall on a new Target Sports Center and an old barn on the camp that girls can use for archery and hatchet throwing. The building will be having all of those things under on one roof, she said. Hatchet throwing is so popular right now, but the only locations to do that double as a bar. This will be an opportunity for girls to have a place to go, not just in Dubuque, but in all 38 counties of our council. Rory Monthai, a Girl Scout and eighth grader at Washington Middle School in Dubuque, said the updates to the camp will give younger people something fun to do in their free times. I am excited for the archery range, she said. The fact that they will be accessible, that this will be accessible from Dubuque, that just sounds really fun. Bridget Daly Wilhelm, another Dubuque troop leader, said all the renovations have brought new life to the camp. It entices and excites people to see what a gem this property is in Dubuque County, she said. It's something that I think needs to be rediscovered. It has so much to offer, and this would not have been happening without the generous donation from the Hammer family. I hope it encourages others to think about giving to causes like this because our girls need it. Our community needs this. Dubuque Group receives federal grant for art-based improvements in Central Avenue Corridor. A federal grant will help support improvements in Dubuque's Central Avenue Corridor. The National Endowment for the Arts awarded Voices Productions a $50,000 Our Town Award, according to a press release. The release states that Our Town grant supports projects that integrate arts, culture, and design activities into local efforts to strengthen and authentically engage communities, center equity, advance artful lives, and lay the groundwork for long-term systems change. In partnership with the City of Dubuque and other community organizations, Voices plans for the corridor include establishing an artist-in-residency program and using arts for community building in the neighborhood. Museum Creature Feature, Ocean Dweller Drills for Its Dinner. Story by Eric Hoogstrom at thmedia.com. The eating habits of an animal at the Dubuque Museum are not for the squeamish. The Pacific Moon Snail uses its unique biological features to violently consume clams and other bivalves. They will actually drill a hole through the clam shells to eat, and there is some scientific evidence that they suffocate their prey to make it easier to eat, said Maddie Hopman, an aquarist at the National Mississippi River Museum and Aquarium. I find that pretty interesting. The Telegraph Herald regularly is providing a closer look at animals at the museum. This week's profile takes a look at a predatory sea snail that leaves a telltale sign of its clam consumption. Clams beware! The Pacific moon snail has a tongue-like appendage called a radula within its massive foot, which extends beneath the snail's shell. The snail's radula is covered in rows of specialized teeth. When a moon snail grasps a clam, the radula goes to work. They stick their radula into clam shells and drill a hole, Hopman said. Clams that have fallen prey to the moon snail have a visible countersunk hole as a reminder of the snail's meal. Here we feed them clams and mussels, Hopman said. It will eat some shrimp as well. Half a foot will travel. Beneath the snail's brownish-white shell is a large foot. Their bodies are way bigger than their shells, Hopman said. Sometimes they can reach 12 inches in length. The snail uses its big foot to burrow into sand for protection. They also plant their foot in the ground to help them move, Hopman said. They do move through the water pretty well. The large foot does make the moon snail susceptible to predators. Other bivalves will try to eat them when they are out of their shell and exposed, and fish will pick at their exposed skin, Hopman said. They do have some protection. They will curl up in their shell, but they can't stay in there a long time because they can't breathe. Pacific moon snails live in coastal areas of their namesake ocean. They live in soft, sandy, muddy areas along the coast that are usually protected by bays or low tidal spaces, Hopman said. They live in colder waters in the Pacific. At the River Museum, the snail lives in a tank with 55-degree water. The snail shares its tank with an animal called a sea cucumber, a relative of starfish that lives along the sea floor. Free guided hike set for Ozark Wildlife Area in Jackson County. Dateline, Maquoketa, Iowa. A free guided hike through a Jackson County wildlife area is set for next month. The Ozark Wildlife Area hike will be held from 8:30 to 11:30 a.m. June 8th at the wildlife area, according to an online announcement. The 323-acre wildlife area is located 2 miles north of Canton. Hike participants will meet at 8:30 a.m. in the parking lot at Tyson's Home Farm Auto in Maquoketa, 18195 Iowa 64. The North Fork of the Maquoketa River winds through the entire wildlife area, with the remote undeveloped land providing habitat for deer, turkeys, squirrels, and other species. Participants should wear sturdy shoes and bring water and a sack lunch. Call 563-652-3783 to indicate interest in participating. Hopkinton Civil War Day set for June 2 through 4. Dateline Hopkinton, Iowa. The Delaware County Historical Museum will hold its annual Civil War Days event this weekend. The event will be held June 2 to 4 at the museum grounds at Hopkinton, 101 Northeast College Street. Friday activities include a spaghetti dinner at 5 p.m. in the museum gymnasium and night tours at 10 p.m. Saturday activities include a pancake breakfast at 7 a.m. in the gymnasium, a ladies' tea at 9:30 a.m. in the Clark Hall, the annual Civil War Days Parade at 11 a.m., a Civil War battle reenactment at 4:30 p.m., pioneer living demonstrations, and more. Sunday activities include a church service at 9:30 a.m. in the museum's old main building, and a North and South skirmish reenactment at 11:30 a.m. Visit dchsia.org for information. Children's marsh paddle planned in Jackson County. Dateline Maquoketa, Iowa. A free kayak paddling event for children will be held at a Jackson County marsh next month. The event will take place at 1:30 p.m. Saturday, June 10th at Hurstville Interpretive Center, 16th Street in Maquoketa, according to a press release. Children can come and use one of several youth kayaks at no cost. Life jackets and instruction will be provided during the 30-minute slots. Interested attendees should call ahead at 563-652-3783. Grant County Sheriff reports increase in accidental 911 calls. Dateline Lancaster, Wisconsin. The Grant County Sheriff's Office has seen a recent increase in accidental 911 calls, which has put an additional strain on emergency dispatchers. The department recently posted on Facebook that its dispatch center has logged over 1,900 calls to 911 since January 1, with around 95% of the cases being accidental dials. This time last year, the number was closer to 725. The post states most callers don't even know that their phone has dialed the emergency line because many smartphones have auto-dial features that activate in certain situations. Simple things like shaking from a riding mower might prompt an automatic call or even falls from certain heights. The department said people can look at their automatic dialing features in their phone settings and adjust them however they'd like. Doing so will not prevent the phone owner from manually dialing, calling 911. If a 911 misdial occurs, the department asks the people respond to the call or text back to the dispatch center to verify that no emergency has occurred and services are not needed. Concrete canoe competition planned at UWP, Dateline Platteville, Wisconsin. Hundreds of students will flow into the University of Wisconsin-Platteville next month for an annual concrete canoe race. The 36th annual American Society of Civil Engineers Concrete Canoe Competition will take place on campus June 10th to June 12th. Around 400 students and guests from across the country are expected to attend. Students involved in the competition must design and build a canoe entirely from concrete. They are judged on their design paper, final product, presentation, and races. The races will take place throughout the day, June 12th at Black Hawk Lake, and the public is invited to watch. Sprint and slalom races will go from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., and the petite and grand sprint finals will take place from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. More information is available online. Registration open for Southwest Wisconsin run/walk event. Dateline Bagley, Wisconsin. Registration is open for a running and walking event slated later this summer in Southwest Wisconsin. The Bagley Freedom 5K run/walk will be held at 7:30 a.m. July 1, beginning at River of Lakes, 132 Packer Drive, and conclude next to the park in Bagley, according to an announcement. The route is paved and stroller-friendly. A free shuttle will transport participants from the finish line to the start. Registration is $30 and can be made online at https://bit.ly/313IDC7UL. BizBuzz, juice bar chain to open in Dubuque this week. Dubuque Massage Therapist celebrates 30 years. Dyersville Coffee Shop, newly renovated. Story by Kaylee Reese at thmedia.com. BizBuzz shares business tidbits from across the tri-states. This edition highlights developments in Dubuque and Dyersville, Iowa. The Dubuque location of a juice bar chain will open this week. Nectar Juice Bar will open Wednesday, May 31, in the Stoneman Commons property at 3415 Stoneman Road near Kennedy Mall. The Dubuque location will be one of more than 180 Nectar Juice Bar locations across 22 states. Though owner Nikki Mulligan said the local spot will be the first Nectar Juice Bar in Iowa. We wanted a quick, healthy option for people, she said. We came across Nectar, and we thought it'd be a great thing to bring to Dubuque. We hope to open more in the tri-state area in the future. The next closest location is probably 100 miles from here. The location will serve juices, smoothies, and acai bowls, all of which are handmade fresh to order. Mulligan said there will also be juice cleanses, and Nectar Juice Bar has partnered with Nintendo to offer scoops of vegan ice cream. While Nectar Juice Bar's items are grab-and-go, the space has both indoor and outdoor seating. Mulligan said the bar has free Wi-Fi and outlets available for people looking to do work or study, and she hopes to have small games for kids to enjoy in the space. We had a lot of people looking in once we got the signs up, Mulligan said. They're excited to have a place to get breakfast. They want something healthy first thing in the morning. The 11,400-square-foot Stoneman Commons property was developed by Switch Development, which is owned by Nikki's husband, Matt Mulligan, president and chief operating officer of Conlon Construction Company. In an email to the Telegraph Herald, Matt Mulligan confirmed that the office for Switch Homes will also open in the Stoneman Commons space on Thursday, June 1. Later this year, he said the property will welcome Milan Laser Hair Removal in one unit and Burn Boot Camp in two units. The westernmost unit is the last space available for a tenant. Nikki Mulligan said she's excited to have Nectar Bruce Juice Bar be part of Dubuque and plans to be engaged in the community. We hope to spur growth in the area, she said, by seeing something new in Dubuque. We hope that encourages others to start a new business as well. Nectar Juice Bar will be open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday. More information can be found at nectarjuicebar.com as well as at the Nectar Juice Bar, Stoneman Commons Facebook page, or at Instagram at Nectar Dubuque. Dabiq Massage Therapist celebrates 30 years. Dabiq Massage Therapist is celebrating 30 years of business in the community. This June, Deanne's Massage Therapy, run by Deanne Ballard, will mark the milestone. The business is located at 1342 Forest Lane near the American Legion Post 6. I'm so glad I did it, Ballard said of pursuing a massage therapy career. The clients seemed to love it. Ballard said the business started as a, quote, spur-of-the-moment thing after she decided to attend Capri College. I was working at a meatpacking place years ago, and I was aching so bad and everything else at the end of the day. I said, I can't do this until I retire. I was looking to do something different. With some encouragement from her family, she said she began taking classes at Capri. The first week of school was a little scary at first, Ballard recalled. I was a quiet type of person. I was almost ready to drop out, but I kept with it since I took out student loans, and I'm so glad I did. Ballard said she then started her business while working out of an office at Lockhart Noonan Chiropractic for nearly 22 years until 2015. She was building a new house at the time, and she built her current office on the same property. I liked getting to know my clients, she said. Over 30 years, I've seen a lot of them. Deanne's Massage Therapy can be reached at 563-543-7128 to make an appointment. A Dyersville coffee shop recently opened with new menu items following a renovation. Brew & Brew, 213 First Avenue East, was closed for about a week this month as work on the space was completed. The coffee shop reopened May 9th. Everybody's happy, said owner Becca Miller. You could tell customers were dying for me to open. Even though we were only closed for a week, they were dying to get back in here. Miller took over ownership of Brew & Brew in 2017 and quickly reopened the business after the ownership transition. I never really got to take my time and go through it and make it what I want, she said. Over the last 6 years, we changed the menu a little, added things, replaced equipment, but there was always a big project in mind that one day I was going to do a bigger renovation. Miller said work on the coffee shop started this spring and included all new flooring and tearing down a wall for more space. She also transformed a storeroom room into a second kitchen. I don't think this place was ever meant to put out as much food as I envisioned putting out, she said. It's just a lot more space. Miller also made changes to the menu, adding avocado toast and hash bowls. She said she also brought back the grain bowls she used to have on the menu, which customers were excited about. One thing I wanted to bring was more breakfast items and a little more healthier options, she said. Brew & Brew is open from 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday and 6:30 to 11 a.m. Saturday. More information can be found at brewandbrewdyersville.com and on the business's Facebook page. To hurt in motorcycle crash in Joe Davis County, Stockton, Illinois, authorities said two people were injured in a motorcycle crash Saturday near Stockton. Jonathan Peavy, 21, and Alexis Ernst, 23, both of Stockton, were transported by ambulance to FHN Memorial Hospital Freeport for treatment of their injuries, according to the Joe Davis County Sheriff's Department. A press release states that Peavy was operating a motorcycle on Illinois 78 near East Loran Road with Ernst as a passenger north at approximately 7 p.m. when the motorcycle struck gravel on the shoulder, left the roadway, and overturned. Peavy was cited with failure to reduce speed to avoid an accident and violation of classification. Authorities are investigating the crash. Police say two arrested after altercation, stabbing in Dubuque. Police said two men were arrested following an altercation in downtown Dubuque on Sunday, in which a man was stabbed multiple times. Lorenzo C. Eggleston, 32, of 675 Jefferson Street, was arrested at 3:07 a.m. Sunday near 3 Main Street on charges of willful injury, causing serious injury, and interference with official acts. Daveville A. Faulkner, 20, of Iowa City, was arrested at 6:24 a.m. Sunday near 30 Main Street on a charge of participation in a riot. Court documents state that Corey M. Jones, 25, was brought to Mercy One Medical Center, Dubuque Medical Center, at about 2:05 a.m. Sunday with 5 to 6 stab wounds. Jones reported that he was, quote, jumped by a group of men in the area near West 15th Street and Central Avenue and stabbed multiple times. Jones was taken into surgery for treatment. The witness who brought Jones to the hospital said that he was talking to Jones. While Jones was standing along the side of the witness truck, multiple cars were circling the block and one nearly struck Jones, who then threw a soda bottle at the vehicle. Documents state, multiple men then exited the vehicles and rushed Jones and began assaulting him. The witness then unlocked his car passenger door and Jones was able to get in the trunk, documents state. Traffic camera footage captured the incident showed four men exited the vehicles and fought Jones, documents state. As the truck pulls away, Eggleston is the closest subject on the passenger side of the truck, documents state. As Eggleston runs eastbound on West 15th, it appears as though he drops an item from his right hand, which he immediately bends down and picks up. But the other three subjects do not appear to be holding any items in their hands during their approach to Jones or while running from the scene. Officers located Eggleston and Faulkner near 30 Main Street at about 3 a.m. Sunday. Documents state that Eggleston had a black folding knife in his bag and blood on his clothing. Police say a Dubuque woman threatened another with a baseball bat at Dubuque gas station. Police said a woman was arrested for threatening another with a baseball bat at a Dubuque gas station. Jamaria D. Logan, 18, of 2284 Jackson Street, Apartment 1, was arrested at 9:45 p.m. Saturday in the 2100 block of Central Avenue on a charge of assault while displaying a dangerous weapon. Court documents state that an officer responded to FASMART 2175 Central Avenue at about 8:55 p.m. Saturday for a report of a disturbance involving a baseball bat. A woman reported that she was arguing with the cashier and then got into an argument with Logan, who was standing behind her in line. Documents state that Logan then went to her vehicle, came back with a pink baseball bat, and blocked the door. Logan initially denied displaying the bat. However, documents state that she later admitted to grabbing the bat, but stated that she was not going to hurt anyone. The store's surveillance footage shows Logan coming into the store with the bat and standing near the exit. Maquoketa Firehouse Breakfast set for Sunday, Dateline Maquoketa, Iowa. The Maquoketa Fire Department will hold an annual fundraising event this weekend. The Firehouse Breakfast will be held from 7 a.m. to noon Sunday, June 4th at the department, 106 South Niagara Street, according to an online announcement. The all-you-can-eat breakfast includes pancakes, sausages, milk, coffee, and orange juice. The cost is $9 for adults and $5 for children 6 to 12. Kids 5 and under eat free. Dubuque man arrested for holding gun to girlfriend's head. Police said a man was arrested after an incident earlier this month in which he held a gun to his girlfriend's head. Christopher P. Eagle, 21, of 695 West 11th Street, was arrested at 11:13 p.m. Saturday at his residence on charges of going armed with intent, domestic abuse, and first-degree harassment. Court documents state that Taya J. Meyer, 19, of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, came to the Dubuque Law Enforcement Center on Saturday to report a case of harassment by Eagle, who was previously her boyfriend. Meyer reported that the incident occurred on April 9th while she was living with Eagle. Documents state that Meyer told Eagle she was leaving after looking through his phone and finding out he had been communicating with other women. Eagle then went out of the bathroom and grabbed his black Stoger 9mm handgun out of the hallway closet, documents state. He put the gun in his pocket and approached Meyer. Eagle took the phone from Meyer and stated something like, "You're not calling anybody, otherwise I will kill you." Eagle then pointed the gun at Meyer's forehead. Documents state that Meyer was then sent multiple voice recordings from Eagle on May 25th, stating that he was, quote, messing around during the April 9th incident. He also threatened to come to Cedar Rapids. Officer spoke with Eagle on Saturday, and Eagle admitted to having his gun around, Meyer documents state. Here are local law enforcement reports. The Dubuque Police and Dubuque County Sheriff's Departments reported Diamond M. Montgomery, 39, at 532 Romberg Avenue, Apartment 4, was arrested at a residence on a charge of domestic abuse. Autumn C. Grover, 24, of Stuartville, Minnesota, was arrested at 10:06 p.m. Saturday at the Dubuque Law Enforcement Center on a charge of third-degree theft. Don Chevelle M. Crawford, 28, no permanent address, was arrested at 8:14 p.m. Saturday in the 3400 block of Dodge Street on a charge of willful injury causing bodily injury. Miranda A. Turner, 37, of 1900 Washington Street, was arrested at 7:42 p.m. Saturday at a residence on a charge of possession of methamphetamine, as well as a warrant charging contempt. Dubuque man sentenced to probation for assault sex crime charge dismissed. A Dubuque man has been sentenced to 2 years of probation for assaulting a girl he knew. Richard P. Heiderscheidt, 53, was recently given the sentence in Iowa District Court of Dubuque after entering an Alford plea to a charge of assault. Such a plea is not an admission of guilt, but an acknowledgement by the defendant that sufficient evidence for conviction exists. Heiderstein was initially charged with assault with intent to commit sexual abuse, but pleaded to the lesser included charge. As part of a plea deal, a charge of lascivious conduct with a minor was dismissed, according to the sentencing order from Iowa District Associate Judge Robert Richter. Court documents state it was reported in October that Heiderscheidt had assaulted the girl. You are listening to the reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald on Tuesday, May 30th, 2023, on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Now let's turn to today's obituaries. Betty J. Fleeg. Deadline Summerfield, Florida. We are saddened to announce the death of Betty Jane Steins Fleeg of Summerfield, who passed away on May 19, 2023, at the age of 91. Betty was born December 31, 1931, in Springbrook, Iowa, the daughter of Arnold and Clara Stein. She was united in marriage to the love of her life, Richard Fleeg, on April 28, 1956, in Springbrook. He preceded her in death on July 18, 2020. Elaine C. Van Vleck. Elaine C. Van Vleck, 85, of Dubuque, died on Sunday, May 28, 2023. A prayer service will be held at 3 p.m. Thursday, June 1, followed by visitation until 7 p.m. at Hoffman Schneider and Kitchen Funeral Home and Crematory, 3860 Asbury Road. A massive Christian burial will occur at 10 a.m. Friday, June 2nd at St. Anthony Catholic Church. Burial will be in Mount Calvary Cemetery. Donald C. Iverson, Dateline Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin. Donald Clare Iverson, a beloved father, friend, and businessman, left this world on May 25, 2023, leaving behind a legacy that will forever be cherished by those whose lives he touched. Donald was born on May 20, 1936, in Soldiers Grove, Wisconsin, to Minnie and John Iverson. He received his early education at the public schools in Soldiers Grove, where he especially excelled at math. Following his graduation, Donald's pursuit of knowledge led him to the Wisconsin Institute of Technology, Platteville. In 1958, he graduated with a bachelor's degree in mining engineering. During school, he worked at family businesses, farms, and Soldiers Grove, as well as two bowling alleys in Madison, Wisconsin. Following graduation, he enlisted in the U.S. Marine Corps and completed boot camp in Fort Bennington, San Diego. Donald was an entrepreneur, creating and growing several successful companies in diverse fields. He served as chairman of Greater Dubuque Riverboat Entertainment Company, LLC. He was president of Donover Incorporated after the successful sale of Iverson Construction's River City Paving. He was president of Modern Gas Company for several decades. Prior to creating his own companies, he worked in positions related to road and bridge construction as an engineer for the Wisconsin DOT, a construction engineer and superintendent for Rain, Schultz, and Dahl, as well as Lenda Construction Company. Beyond professional achievements, Donald was a beloved and loyal friend, quick with joke or story while playing cribbage or six-hand euchre. He was a generous supporter of Duke Ducks Unlimited and other conservation organizations and loved hunting. Donald's legacy will be forever remembered by his loving family. He was survived by his daughters, Tammy Iverson Patchen and Dory Iverson, multiple grandchildren and great-grandchildren, to whom he was known as Grandpa Jellybean J.B. because of his magic tricks with melted jelly beans. A celebration of life will be held at a future date. Donald's immediate and extended family were important to him, and the extended Iverson family will be gathering at the original family farm in Don's honor. In lieu of flowers, memorials are preferred to the Chasing Daylight Animal Shelter at 15560 Wisconsin Highway, 131 Toma, Wisconsin 54660. Ronald E. Johnston, Darlington, Wisconsin. Ronald E. Johnston, Ron, age 85, of Darlington, passed away Friday, May 26, 2023, at Orchard Manor in Lancaster, Wisconsin. He was born December 14, 1937, the son of Paul and Elsie Coomer Johnston. Ron grew up in Darlington and was a proud graduate of Darlington High School. After high school, he enlisted in the United States Army Reserves until he was honorably discharged. He went on to marry the love of his life, Hattie C. Carlson, on April 11, 1964, at Darlington United Methodist Church in Darlington. For many years, Ron proudly farmed in the Darlington area, working tirelessly to provide for the family. Eventually, the family moved into the city of Darlington, where Ron continued to be a dedicated and hardworking member of his community. His commitment to his family and work was evident to all who knew him. Ron was a proud member of the Darlington Free and Accepted Masons for many years, where he formed lasting friendships and contributed to various community projects. His involvement in the organization was an important part of his life, and he took great pride in his membership. In addition to his work and community involvement, Ronald's greatest joy was spending time with his family, particularly his grandchildren and great-grandchildren. He never missed an opportunity to let his family know how proud he was of them, and his love and support were unwavering. Ron is survived by his children, Scott, Jen Johnson of Darlington, Melinda Lynn of Schulzburg, Jeff Cynthia Johnson of Williams Bay, and Jennifer Schneider of Avoca. 9 grandchildren, 5 great-grandchildren, and 1 sister, Nancy Davis, all of whom will miss him dearly. He was preceded in death by his parents, his wife Hattie, in 2015, and 2 sons-in-law, Roger Lynn and Wayne Schneider. Throughout his life, Ron was known for his friendly nature, his ability to fix just about anything, and his thoughtfulness towards others. He will be remembered fondly by his family and friends for his warm smile, his hearty laugh, and his unwavering commitment to those he loved. A funeral service will be held Wednesday, May 31, 2023, at 11:30 a.m. at Erickson Funeral Home, 508 Main Street, Darlington, with Reverend David Ritchie of Waldwick Community Church in rural Mineral Point, Wisconsin, officiating. A visitation will occur Wednesday, May 31, 2023, from 9 a.m. to 11:15 a.m. at Erickson Funeral Home. Online condolences may be expressed to the family at www.ericksonfuneralhome.com. For those who prefer, a memorial fund has been established in Ron's name. Rachel L. Burning, Hazel Green, Wisconsin. Rachel L. Sutter Burning, 30 of rural Hazel Green, Wisconsin, passed away at 3:40 p.m. Friday, May 26, 2023, at University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics after a 2-year battle with breast cancer. Massive Christian burial will be at 10:30 a.m. Thursday, June 1, 2023, at St. Mary's Catholic Church in East Dubuque, Illinois, with Father Dennis Vargas officiating. Burial will be in East Dubuque Cemetery. Friends and family may call from 3 to 8 p.m. on Wednesday, May 31 at St. Mary's Church, 170 Montgomery Avenue in East Dubuque, and from 9:15 to 10:15 a.m. on Thursday at the church. There will be a parish prayer service at 2:30 p.m. on Wednesday at the church. Miller Funeral Home of East Dubuque is serving the family. Rachel was born on August 21, 1992 in Dubuque, the daughter of Mark R. and Jane M. Reynolds Sutter. She was a graduate of East Dubuque High School, the class of 2010. She received an associate's degree from NICC, Piazza, Iowa. She was employed as a customer service specialist at Packers Chemical, Keeler, Wisconsin, for the past 10 years. She was united in marriage to her high school sweetheart, Tim R. Burning, on September 12, 2015, at St. Mary's Church, East Dubuque. Her greatest joy in life was being a wife and mother. She enjoyed being a big sister, spending time with family and friends, traveling, shopping, going to concert trips to the casino, watching movies and boat rides on the Mississippi. Surviving are her husband Tim, her daughter Harper, her parents Mark Vicky Sutter and Jane Scott Schauer, both of East Dubuque, her in-laws Gary and Deb Bussing Burning of Menominee, siblings Jonathan and Colin Sutter, step-siblings Brett Davidson, Justin Schauer, Jamie Stark and Jason Schauer, her sibling in-laws Becky Scott Bradley, Jeff Burning, Brianne, Annie Burning, and other relatives. She was preceded in death by her paternal grandparents, Joseph and Eileen Martell Sutter. Rachel's family would like to thank the Tri-State community for all their love and support the past 2 years. In lieu of flowers, a Rachel Burning Memorial Fund has been established for Harper's future educational expenses. Her infectious laugh and smile will be missed by all who knew and loved her. Online condolences may be left at www.millerfhed.com. Richard C. Trannell, Dateline, Monroe, Wisconsin. Richard Christopher Trannell, age 98 of Monroe, passed away on Tuesday, May 24, 2023, at SSM Health Hospital. He was born August 4, 1924, the son of Edward and Lucille Kiefer Trannell in East Dubuque, Illinois. Richard married Madonna Frommelt on October 10, 1953, at Sacred Heart Church in Dubuque. Richard was a farmer in East Dubuque and Monroe his whole life. He was also a police officer for 18 years in East Dubuque. Richard was a member of St. Victor's Church and served on the parish council, was also a lector and usher for many years. He was an advocate for the apostolate to the handicapped. He was also a member of the Knights of Columbus Farm Bureau and a 4-H member. Richard loved participating in rodeos from bronc to bull riding. His great-grandchildren always said he was cowboy tough. Gardening was his pride and joy, especially his strawberries and raspberries. He was an avid euchre player and good luck trying to beat him in a game of checkers. His family was the center of his life, and he loved to tease and joke around with anyone and everyone. Richard is survived by his daughter, Sandra Berg, Braun of Broughton, Michelle Frank Johnson of Sterling, Illinois, Tammy Trinell of Monroe, Jacqueline Richard Wiss of Monroe, and Angel Trinell of Monroe, son Rock Cat Trinell of Libertyville, Illinois, 9 grandchildren, and other relatives. He was preceded in death by his parents, wife Madonna, 7 brothers and 3 sisters. Per Richard's wishes, a private mass of Christian burial will be held at St. Clair of Assisi Parish at St. Victor Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Calvary Cemetery. Shriner Hager Gulkey Funeral Home is assisting the families. Condolences may be sent to the family at Shriner111.com. The family wishes to thank Richard's caregivers, Kim Lewis and Edie Engelbertson, for making it possible to remain at home. Memorials may be made to the Monsignor Thomas F. Companion Charitable Fund. Ronald E. Johnson, Darlington, Wisconsin. Ronald E. Ron Johnson, age 85, of Darlington, Wisconsin, passed away Friday, May 26, 2023, at Orchard Manor in Lancaster, Wisconsin. He was born December 14, 1937, the son of Paul and Elsie Coomer Johnson. He grew up in Darlington and was a proud graduate of Darlington High School. Here are some area funeral services. Marjorie B. Ackerman, Cassville, Wisconsin. Visitation, 9 to 11 a.m. Tuesday, May 30th, St. Charles Borromeo Catholic Church, Cassville. Mass of Christian burial, 11 a.m. Tuesday at the church. David J. Bosch, Lancaster, Wisconsin. Visitation, 10 a.m. to noon. Thursday, June 1, St. Clement Catholic Church, Lancaster. Mass of Christian burial, noon Thursday at the church. John F. Bechtin, Dubuque, celebration of life, 1 to 4 p.m. today's John and Sandy's home. Rachel L. Burning, Hazel Green, Wisconsin, visitation 3 to 8 p.m. Wednesday, May 31. St. Mary's Catholic Church, East Dubuque, Mass of Christian burial, 10:30 a.m. Thursday, June 1 at the church. William Brooks, Stockton, Illinois, visitation 9:30 to 10 a.m. Friday, June 2nd, Holy Cross Catholic Church, Stockton. Service 10 a.m. Friday at the church. Catherine M. Donath, Dubuque. Celebration of life, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday, June 17th. Sullivan Pavilion, Asbury Park. Donna G. Flynn, Dubuque. Visitation 3 to 7 p.m. Friday, June 2nd. Eaglehoff Secret and Casper Funeral Home and Crematory, 2659 John F. Kennedy Road, and from 9 to 10:15 a.m. Saturday, June 3rd, St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Mass of Christian burial, 10:30 a.m. Saturday at the church. Carol A. Frederick, Potosi, Wisconsin. Rosary service, 2 p.m. Tuesday, May 30th, and at 9:30 a.m. Wednesday, May 31, St. Andrew's Catholic Church, Tennyson. Visitation, 3 to 7 p.m. Tuesday at the church. Service, 10 a.m. Wednesday at the church. Michelle M. Hamilton, Lancaster, Wisconsin. Celebration of life, 6 p.m. Friday, June 16th. Shriner Memorial Library, Lancaster. George H. Harbaugh, Guttenberg, Iowa. Visitation, 3 to 7 p.m. today. Morris Funeral Home, Guttenberg. Service, 10:30 a.m. Tuesday, May 30th, St. John's Lutheran Church, Guttenberg. Lila L. Hochhausen, Cassville, Wisconsin. Visitations, 9 to 11 a.m. Thursday, June 1, St. Charles Borromeo Catholic Church, Cassville. Mass of Christian burial, 11 a.m. Thursday at the church. Wanda J. Keck, Colesburg, Iowa. Visitation, 4 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, May 30th, Leonard Muller Funeral Home, Edgewood. Service, 10:30 a.m. Wednesday, May 31, Colesburg Methodist Church. Franklin A. Larson, Jr., Dubuque. Service, 10 a.m. Wednesday, May 31, Regina Celli Chapel, Mount Calvary Cemetery. Charlotte E. Lesline, Manchester, Iowa. Visitation, 3 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, May 30th, Leonard Muller Funeral Home, Manchester. And from 9 to 10:15 a.m. Wednesday, May 31, First Evangelical Lutheran Church, Manchester. Service, 10:30 a.m. Wednesday at the church. Lori A. Maz, Potosi, Wisconsin. Visitation, 10 a.m. to noon, Friday, June 2nd. Martin Schwartz Funeral Home and Crematory, Potosi service, noon Friday at the funeral home. Randall Rogers, Dubuque, visitation 2 to 4 p.m. today at Leonard Funeral Home and Crematory, 2595 Rockdale Road, service 11 a.m. Tuesday, May 30th at the funeral home. Leonard P. Tides, Bellevue, Iowa, visitation 9 to 10:30 a.m. Wednesday, May 31. Hockman Meyer Funeral Home and Cremation Service, Bellevue. Massive Christian Burial, 11 a.m. Wednesday, St. Joseph's Catholic Church, Bellevue. Norbert O. Trussell, Dubuque, prayer service 3 p.m. followed by visitation until 7 p.m. Thursday, June 1, Leonard Funeral Home and Crematory, 2595 Rockdale Road. Massive Christian Burial, 11 a.m. Friday, June 2, Nativity Catholic Church. Louis J. Weiss, Bellevue, Iowa, visitation 5 to 7 p.m. Friday, June 2, Hockman Meyer and Meyer Funeral Home and Cremation Service, Bellevue. Camilla M. Wells, Dubuque, visitation 10 to 10:45 a.m. Tuesday, May 30th, St. Patrick's Catholic Church, service 11 a.m. Tuesday at the church. Here's a correction to a previously announced story, previously read story. Dubuque resident Frank Potter's one-act play, The Karen and Henry David Thoreau, will premiere with a stage reading at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. Sunday, June 4th, at Unitarian Universalist Fellowship Church, 1699 Iowa Street. An item in Sunday's TH included the wrong day of the reading. The Telegraph Herald regrets the error. Local farmers filtering into social media. Dateline Cuba City, Wisconsin, inspired by a Facebook page called The Adventures of Dairy Carrie, Christy Bellman turned to social media about 5 years ago to advocate for owners of small farms. Educating people about what we're doing and that we are really small farmers is important, said Bellman, who owns an 8-acre farmette outside of Cuba City. This is not factory farming. This is just small farmers trying to do their best. Bellman 41 is one of many area farmers who are using social media to share with others in agriculture. Farmers share to network or seek support in times of trouble. Owners of Weigel Dairy Farm near Platteville created a Facebook page after the farm was hit by a tornado in June. While initially we stayed off of social media, others began posting photos on their Facebook pages and news stations came to the farm to run stories on the damage, said Rebecca Hillby, who runs the page and is calf manager at the farm. Word of our extensive damage got out quick and everybody came by to help, either helping to sort through things, cleaning up, moving animals, setting up calf huts, etc. Bellman is regular at farmers markets in Dubuque and Killeen, Illinois, selling mostly vegetables. She grows in greenhouses on her property as well as on her parents' farm, also near Cuba City. She got involved with social media in an effort to connect with her customers as well as other farmers who face the same issues. There's a lot of skewed information out there and a lot of misleading information. Bellman said, I was concerned about my customers in Dubuque not being informed about what is happening out here in the countryside. Tom Weigel, who owns the Weigel Dairy Farm with his wife Kelly Weigel, echoed that thought. You don't really realize how many people are removed from farming and are interested in what we do out here, they said. They know what the word farming is, but they don't realize what it's involved into. Bellman has an Instagram account and created a Facebook page called Christy's Perfect Produce. She also has a personal Facebook page and belongs to a secret group called Dairy Girls Network, run by Laura Daniels of Cobb, Wisconsin. It's a group of women involved in dairy farming where they ask each other questions like, how do you care for a sick calf, Bellman said. Bellman advocates for social media as much as she does for farming. Hopefully more farmers will feel empowered to use social media to convey what's happening on their farms. Even if it's on your own personal pages to take a photo of your tractor or combine. I think it's very valuable. Farmers on Facebook, here are a few social media pages devoted to farming that might be of interest to tri-staters. Cows of Instagram, a national site devoted to a variety of creative cow photos. Cows of My Life, a public Facebook page for posting all things cows. Farm Tech, located near Dyersville, Iowa, it's a Facebook page. Vincel Sweet Corn, located near East Dubuque, also a Facebook page. Christie's Perfect Produce, located near Cuba City, a Facebook page. O'Connell Organic Acres, or located near Bankston, Iowa, a Facebook page. Tree of Life Organic Farm, located near Cuba City, Wisconsin, a Facebook page. Weigel Dairy, located near Platteville, Wisconsin, a Facebook page. And it's WIAG Proud, an Instagram site devoted to Wisconsin agricultural photos. Specialty crop producers seek Farm Bill recognition support. Dateline Washington, harm House and Senate members writing the 2023 Farm Bill face pressure to do more to accommodate specialty crops, an array of fruits, vegetables, tree nuts, nursery plants, and flowers that account less for than 10% of acres in production. USDA 2023 forecasts, colossal crops, measly prices, little backslappings, by Alan Gubert for the Telegraph Herald. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's USDA most recent world agricultural supply and demand estimates report confirmed that a freight train of grain is barreling toward 2023-2024 markets, and farmers everywhere need to prepare for rocket prices sure to follow in its wake. The report was succinctly summarized by DTN Markets analysts shortly after its release May 12. USDA projects farmers are in the midst of planting the country's largest corn crop on record at 15.26 billion bushels and a record soybean crop at 4.51 billion. As every grain market participant knows, the double corn slash soybean production record is a double-edged sword because the records will lead to larger price flattening carryovers. Again, per DTN, the huge crops mean 2023-2024 new crop ending stocks for corn are projected at 2.2 billion and soybeans pegged at 335 million bushels. Here's a look at some area letters to the editors. This is from Barbara Rank, Hidden Oaks Court, Dubuque. This letter says, public schools provide excellent education. Echoing Jason Duba, I agree that local schools are. Public schools are a positive choice. I have always been proud of my Iowa roots, and my Iowa public education has served me well. My siblings and I all graduated from Duke Senior High, and my mother taught at Washington Junior High. After getting my master's from UNI, a public university, I went on to teach public schools in Iowa, New York, Texas, Missouri, and Illinois. My daughters attended public schools in Connecticut. Now that I am back in Dubuque, I have a grandson at Irving, and other grandchildren are not far behind him. Public schools have provided excellent educations for all of us. I would say that my friends and colleagues would agree with me. I'm sure that private schools teach children well, too, but to undervalue or disparage public education, schools, and teachers is misguided. As Jason Duba said, I believe that school choice debate legislation in Iowa this year are leading families to look around and say, the grass looks greener over there when things are actually great right in their own backyard. Here's a letter from John Clower, Clark Drive, Dubuque. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the Iowa legislature unanimously pass a law several years ago stating that the Iowa caucuses must be, not maybe, or nor might be, but must be, first in the nation? So why is the Iowa Democrat Party rolling over and playing dead when the National Party decides to ignore Iowa and insist on honoring states showing more diversity? Again, please correct me if I am wrong, but does not, must not mean there is no choice in the matter? Does this not mean that all Iowa parties must have their caucuses first in the nation? And legal scholars, please take note. Does this not mean that the Iowa Democrat Party must hold caucuses on the same day as Republicans are doing? Does this not also mean that not having Iowa first makes state Democrats into lawbreakers who are guilty of at least a serious misdemeanor and therefore potentially unqualified for state offices? The plot thickens. A solution, the Iowa Democrat Party should collectively say to the DNC, goodness gracious, we must maintain our first-in-the-nation presidential caucuses regardless of what you say. Try and stop us. A postscript. State law says Iowa must hold first-in-the-nation presidential caucuses, and New Hampshire state law says it must hold the nation's first primaries. I rest my case, and I hope Iowa Democrats don't rest theirs. Letter from Steve Moorhead, Dewey Avenue, Galena, Illinois. I read the letter to the editor from John Darrow with great interest. He states that our country is being destroyed by the Democrats. Climate change, sexual orientation, and immigration. These are serious problems that must be addressed, but they are not nearly as serious as having a president who, while in office, wanted to suspend the Constitution, has been accused of rape, has had a bromance with Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un. He's also being investigated for vote tampering, falsifying voting results with stealing top-secret documents, and refusing to return them. Trump also promoted sedition against his own government. He refused to call off the insurrection or send help to rescue Vice President Pence and other members of Congress, both parties, and all the time he was watching the uprising on TV and more. If our country can survive the above, Joe Biden and the Democrats aren't going to do much harm to the United States of America. In fact, they're going to do a lot of good. Here's a letter from Noah Dice, Moonlight Drive, Platteville, Wisconsin. Retail pricing should include sales tax. Imagine this, you're walking into a grocery store you drove 15 minutes to get to with $5 in your hand. Think it will be enough to buy that box of cereal you wanted. As you go through the aisle, you see the cereal is $4.89. Perfect. However, as you go through the long checkout line, you realize the actual price is $5.04. You have that unadvertised sales tax to thank for that. An often overlooked issue in our county is exclusion of sales tax from products in American markets and stores. By advocating for our politicians to include tax and sales prices, we can simplify the American market and make it easier for the everyday consumer to shop. And that does it for today's reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Tuesday, May 30th, 2023. I'm your reader, Bill Petrosky. You can access a recording of today's reading on our website, iowaradioreading.org, at any time. Thank you for listening.